The Memorial Day weekend is often referred to as the unofficial start of summer. You'd never know it by the weather forecast for today. Cloudy and cool with showers, maybe a thunderstorm in the southwestern part of the state. Might be a good day to catch up on some reading. And this will be a good hour to get some great ideas for books to read this summer. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just about 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, Memorial Day, May 27th. We will welcome in an NPR book reviewer this hour. We have some Wisconsin Public Radio staff picks to share, and we hope you will join in with your questions and your recommendations for a summer reading list. What are you reading right now? What's next on your list? What are your favorite genres of books? Maybe our guest will have a new idea for you. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Alan Chews, NPR's longtime voice of books. He has been reviewing books for All Things Considered since the 1980s. He's also a novelist and a writing teacher at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. His most recent book is Paradise, or Eat Your Face, a trio of novellas. Good morning, and thanks so much for joining us on this holiday.
Good morning, Joy.
Happy Memorial Day to you, too.
I guess we don't say happy Memorial Day, do we? But it's time to think about why we had the holiday.
Yes, a thoughtful Memorial Day. Can I choose Eat Your Face or I'm just kidding. Paradise or Eat Your Face, a trio of novellas. Tell us about that.
Well, the Paradise is Bali, and it's about an American woman who goes to Bali on an assignment to write a magazine piece about that really, truly paradise on Earth. It's an extraordinary island in the middle of the Indonesian archipelago, as you know. And she has some deep psychological problems, and she ends up going to a Balinesian healer who gives her some advice. I know the title is very quirky, but it goes to this deep-seated problem that this woman has about how to find her way and make a happy life for herself. The other two novellas in that little collection are both about writers, actually, as it happens. I rarely write about writers, but both of them are about writers. One is about a Northern California writer who has a deep, dark past in relation to his retarded sister, and the third piece is about an aging writer who has a stroke and goes into a terrible, terrible condition for anyone, let alone a writer, which is he makes word salad. He can't speak what he has on his mind. And so not exactly cheerful stories, but some things that I had to write about.
Yeah. Well, it sounds actually like something my brother, the writer, might enjoy. So I certainly will put that on the list as a possibility, and we'll post a link to the book on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page.
That's great.
So, what are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now? Yeah. I just finished a novel by Karen Joy Fowler that I'm going to review next week for All Things Considered. It's called We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves, and it's about a woman who grows up in a family of psychologists I'm not spoiling the book because the whole central element is about this. It takes a while to discover it in the book because she's had such troubled past with it. But her parents raise her with a chimp for a sister. And as part of an experiment at the psychology department at the University of Indiana. So she has, let's say, a very interesting childhood that she's first represses and then tries to come to terms with. So that's the book that I've just finished, and I've already started one again this morning. I mean, I read, a couple of novels a week, depending upon their length. So I'll probably finish the book I just started, which is about the daughter of Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, and it's by a woman named Annabel Lyon, who is a Canadian writer. It's called The Sweet Girl, and it's beautiful historical fiction. I mean, she's a classicist, she knows her stuff, and she reproduces the ordinary life of ancient Greece in such a way that it sounds like something very close to ourselves, but also something clearly very far away.
Sounds fascinating. And you go through a couple of novels a week. Wow.
Well, I don't eat potato chips, but I read a lot of novels.
How do you choose what books to review?
Well, after a while, I just have this inner divining rod. I just go to what I think is going to make me as happy as I possibly can as a reader. And with a very few exceptions that I think of as homework, you know, novels by writers we absolutely have to pay attention to, I just see what's coming out and turn my eyes on those pages.
Is there anything that makes a book a better summer read or beach read, or do people pretty much read the same sorts of things all year round?
Well, you have to think about, Shakespeare says in The Winter's Tale, a sad tale's best for winter. So maybe a cheerful or comedy is better for summer than for winter. I really don't know. If you're looking for charming and intelligent comedy, George Saunders, who's an extraordinary short story writer, has a new book out called The 10th of December. And those stories are very, very quirky, odd takes on American life. And there's another story writer from the Pacific Northwest named Jess Walter, who's a native of Spokane, and he still lives in Spokane. And it's called We Live in Water, and it's about the tough life of people below the poverty line, many of them were troubled psychologically up in the Pacific Northwest. But, for a charming and delightful story, my favorite recently was a book by a woman named Allison Amond. It's called A Nearly Perfect Copy. And it's about a New York art expert who gets involved in a shady deal with a Parisian painter. He's a kind of fading late 40-year-old painter who's never had any success, but he discovers he has a tremendous talent for forgery, and they get together and they basically ruin all their lives having great success selling these forgeries for a while. So sort of a comedy.
We are talking about books, and we're going to try to compile a summer reading list this hour. And we're wondering if you have any recommendations. What are you reading right now? Is there a book that you've heard about that you're particularly looking forward to reading? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Alan Chuse. He is an NPR book reviewer. He has been reviewing books for All Things Considered since the 1980s, and he will have some recommendations for you, too, if you have a question for him. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly cloudy. There is a chance of showers, possibly a thunderstorm in the southwestern half of Wisconsin. We can expect highs today in the upper 60s, but as usual, cooler near the Great Lakes. Tonight, cloudy showers likely, a chance of thunderstorms, lows in the 50s, and then tomorrow, a cloudy day again, a good chance of showers and storms, a little warmer tomorrow with highs in the mid-70s, and then warming up even more on Wednesday with highs expected near 80. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up a little later, we will be memorializing Vietnam War veterans from Wisconsin. We're going to be talking about a special project to collect a photograph of every person listed on the Vietnam War Memorial Mall in Washington, D.C. Learn more about this project and honor our Vietnam veterans who made the ultimate sacrifice coming up this morning after 8 o'clock. It's now 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, May 27th. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us as we compile a summer reading list this hour. Do you have something you would like to recommend? What's the last good book, great book that you read? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are getting some ideas from our guest, who is a book reviewer for NPR. Alan Chews is with us, and he is sharing with us some of his ideas for summer reading. And I was also going to share with you some ideas from our Wisconsin Public Radio staff members who passed along their recommendations. Marika Soval, who is one of our talk show producers, writes, "As each season begins, I love to read how Aldo Leopold observed it in his Sand County Almanac. This summer will be no exception. Here's a sampling of Aldo's summer." And this is from a Sand County Almanac. "Like other artists, my river is temperamental. There is no predicting when the mood to paint will come upon him or how long it will last. But in midsummer, when the great white fleets cruise the sky for day after flawless day, it is worth strolling down to the sandbars just to see whether he has been at work." Aldo Leopold from a Sand County Almanac. So thanks to Marika. That's what she likes to read before each season. It doesn't have to be necessarily a brand new novel for summer reading, does it, Alan?
Oh, no, of course not, no. Actually, that Aldo Leopold book is in a beautiful new edition in the Library of America series of American classics. It's just come out, and it's got the imprimatur of the great American critics on it, and it's a wonderful book that's really set the whole pace for writing about the natural world for modern America.
Mm-hmm.
You find books under the Christmas tree. Maybe we don't think about summer reading as books you'd find under the palm tree or a flowering tree, and we go back and reread things that we have on a list, steadily growing list. My list of things I want to reread gets bigger and bigger rather than diminishes.
I know what you mean. Name one of them or two of them.
But, you know, I wrote a piece a couple years ago for the Chicago Tribune about rereading, and I got a loud and really smart letter back saying, "Oh, you have time to reread? I work full time and, got a family to raise, and I barely have time to read anything. So, rereading is one of the greatest pleasures of life, and I hardly ever have it." And it's true. Life being what it is, everything pulls it and tugs at us and tries to take our attention away from what we might take to be the most serious things. And so reading itself, if not rereading, is a precious, precious gift that we can give to ourselves. I always think of it, a writer friend of mine from Austin, Texas, named Laura Furman, talks about reading as the last solitude that we can have in our lives. They're everything's trying to get our attention. But when we pick up a book and dive into a story, or John Gardner, the late critic and novelist, used to call it, fall into a constantly transforming dream. When we can do that, we're alone with ourselves, by ourselves, and some great characters and a great story. If we choose the right book.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about choosing the right book and maybe other books that we might want to reread. But let's go to Brenda in Galena, Illinois first. Hi, Brenda. Do you have a book recommendation for us?
Oh, indeed I do. Thank you. Thank you. It's called Eyes of Lightning.
And what is that about?
The Thunderbird Legacy. It's based on a real effigy mound near Galena, Illinois. And it's a really intriguing book. It's book one. And I think book two is supposed to be out this year. But a nice young lady, she's an assistant librarian. I met her on Saturday, asked her what she did, and she said, oh, she does other things, but she's also an author. And there was a book at the library, authored by her, this book. And her name is Erin, I think it's Keezer Horn.
So she's a librarian in Galena, and she has written Eyes of Lightning, and this is based on an Indian effigy mound in Galena. It's a novel though, right?
Yes. Yes. And she says the only one in the state of Illinois. And the young lady, Erin, she also has a degree in zoology, and she was a big farmer vet assistant, and more. Yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good, Brenda. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. I suppose pick up a book by a local author as well. How do we choose the right book, Alan? That's what I have to admit. I read a lot of different books for this radio show, but I read very rarely just for my own pleasure, which is kind of sad. But because I do 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and sometimes we are talking with more than one author a day, you can imagine there's a lot of books on my bookshelf. And yeah, most of them are nonfiction books because that's the nature of our show. When I do have some spare time, I really want to make sure I'm getting a good, pleasurable book and not one that I'm going to have to reread, you know, the same page over and over again to get into it.
Right. I'll tell you, my way of operating, because I read and write all day, is to find something that will just take me away from all seriousness. I was very sad when Michael Crichton died. There may not be another Michael Crichton left. He's a great entertainer. So I take entertainment seriously, and so when I stop reading my Balzac and my Tolstoy and stop trying to write my own work at the end of the day, I want to be entertained. Maybe some books come across as a kind of little movie on the page, others as little stage shows on the page, others as little carnivals on the page. But those are the kinds of things that allow me to relax and get some pleasure. I always think, you know, when I recommend books, I actually think in terms of diet, you know. I mean, we don't live by good diet alone. Now and then we want to have a Big Mac, a filet, or, you know, free-range chicken. So, you know, that's just our nature. We can't be that serious all the time. My wife, who spent 35 years as a dancer and choreographer and a wonderful teacher, who said, it's what you do 85% of the time that matters. So I think that's a good way to live. And now and then we just pick up something that is going to be charming and silly and make us laugh and make us cheerful. And that's a good thing.
Well, we'll get to more of your recommendations, Big Macs and otherwise. But let's go to Bill in Grays Lake now. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Bill.
Yes, Bill, go ahead. You had a question?
My comment to you is... I'm not what you'd call a reader per se, but I read everything John Grisham writes. Mm-hmm. What is it about his style that is so unique that just keeps you glued to the book until you finish it? And second, I know there must be other authors that are equally as good or better, but he's very popular, and I'd like the names of others that I could read that are similar, so that I end up reading only what Grisham writes.
Well, you know, he's got a natural gift for making a good story. I think that's his secret. He can tell a story that pulls us in immediately, and that's a great gift. I don't know if it's even a talent. It's something that he just has as a natural attribute, and he makes the most of it. Stephen King also is like that, I think. They just tell a great story in the most entertaining possible way, no matter how serious or dark the story may be. It's a tradition that I see that goes back to Mark Twain in America and to Dickens in England. I mean, these are natural story makers, and they really know how to create an audience of satisfied people. Michael Crichton, who I mentioned, I think also falls into that group. He has a scientific bent, does a tremendous amount of research, but he's also a great story maker. So, you know, Grisham is a serious entertainer. King is a serious entertainer. That's how I look at those guys.
All right, Bill.
And is that Crichton, Crichton?
Crichton. He wrote Jurassic Park, the Jurassic Park series.
Okay. And the last one you mentioned after him was what?
Mark Twain, Charles Dickens.
Oh. Yeah, I got those. Okay.
And Stephen King, he mentioned.
And
Bill.
Stephen King, yeah.
Stephen King, I have. And
I guess he's looking. Are there any other writers that do that kind of? I guess is that suspense? Alan.
Yeah, I get. Well, you know, there's that legal element in Grisham and King, I guess you say, what, is a horror writer in a certain way. But I don't want to pigeonhole them. I think I say them, see them as I said, great story writers. You know, the contemporary African-American writer, Khaled Hosseini, he's got a great following. People love to read his stories. He's got a new one out called And the Mountains Echoed. He's the guy who wrote the Kite Runner. He was born in Afghanistan, educated in the U.S., became a physician, and just started writing, and is now, I think, writing full-time.
Yeah. Are there certain genres that you don't read, Alan?
Yeah, I mean, I do read a lot of thrillers, spy novels, science fiction. I just don't become too engaged, for one reason or another, with mysteries. Or fantasy. Those are the two, if we're going to look at categories, those are the two categories that I don't really
like. Do you have a favorite genre?
Well, I guess it's spy thrillers and science fiction when they're really good. I mean, I always do follow the spy genre. There's a terrific new spy novel coming out this week, in fact, by Charles McCarry, who's an old Washington hand. He was in the CIA, and he's written a number of really terrific spy novels, many of them focused on Washington, D.C. And he's got a new one out called The Shanghai Factor, set in China and the U.S. Really fabulous spy writer. I always look for a good spy novel to kind of clear my head between my own work and the reading that I do for reviewing.
Well, we're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will be back talking with Alan Chews. He is NPR's longtime voice of books and has been reviewing books for All Things Considered for many years. He's also a novelist and a writing teacher at George Mason University. His most recent book is Paradise or Eat Your Face, a trio of novellas. We are looking forward to more of your questions, more of your book recommendations as we compile a summer reading list. 1-800-642-1234. First, we'll check the latest news. We are compiling an adult summer reading list this hour with recommendations from our guest, an NPR book reviewer, WPR staff, and you. What are you reading right now? What's next on your list? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:36 on this Monday, May 27th, Memorial Day. I hope you will join in with the books that you think other listeners might enjoy or your questions. Maybe it's fiction or nonfiction. It might be a light beach read or some hard-hitting nonfiction. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest, and we are very happy to have him with us, is Alan Chews. He is a book reviewer for NPR. He's been reviewing books for All Things Considered since the 1980s. He's also a novelist and a writing teacher at George Mason University. And we have some callers, so let's go to the phone. Peter in Deerfield is with us. Hello, Peter.
Hello.
Yes, what is your recommendation?
I read a book recently called The Perks of Being a Wallflower. It's a modern-day Catcher in the Rye. And when you read it, actually, it helps you to appreciate Catcher in the Rye more. It's a coming-of-age story set in the early 90s, and that's when I was in high school, so that's why I really like it. And the character really likes to read, so you get recommendations from him for all these classic books that you might want to try. And
I've seen some good press on it. I haven't read it myself. I think somebody's making it into a movie.
Oh.
Yeah, it's actually out on DVD already. Yeah.
Oh, is it already? Oh.
Yeah.
You're way ahead of me on this.
Well, so what recommendation did you get in the book, Peter, that you're going to try now?
I'm sorry?
I said, what recommendation did you get in that book?
Well, there was, I'm trying to remember all the books that he read. I guess there's nothing that sticks out in particular in my mind, but there were a lot of classics that his teacher assigned him.
Uh-huh. Did she assign any Steinbeck?
Yes, Of Mice and Men, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I find rereading Steinbeck every couple of years is really wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Peter. Appreciate that recommendation. Well, when we called you last week, Alan, to set up this mm-hmm. show, you told my producer, Christy Taylor, that what you usually do for summer recommendations is cull from the best
yes.
books that you've read. Some you've reviewed, some you did not over the past half year or so. And one recommendation that you have for our summer reading list is All That Is. Tell us
yes.
about that.
That's, I guess you'd say, the capstone work of James Salter, who is now nearly 90 years old and one of the greatest unknown American writers, even this late in his life. This book is finally getting him some attention. He's won literary prizes. He has a devoted following among other writers, but not a huge audience. And this novel, which is a life work, it's about a Navy veteran who, after the Pacific Theater, war in the Pacific Theater, comes to New York and marries a couple of times, not very well. The marriages don't go well, but he gets a job in the publishing business and becomes a successful editor. And no earth-shaking things happen to this man, except he learns a great deal about himself in relation to women and tries to find happiness in a world where most people are just trying to earn a lot of money or find pleasure for themselves and disregard other people. It's a beautiful book, All That Is. And I'm not sure that a lot of people have heard about it, but it might call readers' attentions to other books of Salter's. He was a jet pilot in Korea during the Korean War with one kill to his name. And was all set to live his life as an Air Force officer until the writing bug got to him, and he resigned his commission in order to write full-time and went into the movie business for a while. He was an avid skier, and he made a movie with Redford called Downhill Racer, then left the movie business again to write full-time. And this new novel, All That is really the culmination of a splendid career.
And let me share another recommendation from one of our Wisconsin Public Radio staff members, Cynthia Schuster, who is a fill-in talk show host and producer. She says that one book I want to take up is Z, A Novel of Zelda Fitzgerald by Therese Ann Fowler. It's new and out now. Whether it's release around the same time as The Great Gatsby's blockbuster opening at the theaters was planned or a coincidence, I'm sure it might be of interest to Gatsby fans. Do you think, Alan?
Yeah, there's a kind of, I don't know what you call it, sub-genre of taking characters out of real literary lives. Hemingway's wife was the focus of a novel that was tremendously successful last year, and I think this writer is doing the same thing with Zelda. If you have an interest in Fitzgerald or Hemingway, it's really kind of wonderful. It's like walking around to the side of the house and looking in the window. You get an unconventional view of these writers whose work we admire.
Any chance of... Did you happen to see The Great Gatsby?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I have not either. I have not either, but I know that a lot of times when a movie like that comes out, it does rekindle interest in a book like that.
And it's amazing. This novel has endured for so long. I remember seeing the second version of The Great Gatsby. There was a silent film, and there was a film that came out in the early 1950s, I believe it was. I remember seeing that as a child. How I got into the movie theater to see that, I don't remember, but there I was. So this is this one is the fifth version of The Great Gatsby that's come out, I believe. And people in my family have seen it, and they've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
There was a very negative review in The New Yorker last week, but I love 3D.
Yeah.
And I love Gatsby.
Yeah.
I wonder how that'll work.
Yeah, right. Let's go to another caller, Eugene in Viola. Good morning, Eugene.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Joy, and your dear guest.
My favorite
is O. Henry. Uh-huh. He wrote 275 stories and 12 books.
Yes.
And you can go through one of his stories, probably in an hour, a couple hours, and you never know how they'll end until the last couple of paragraphs. And the Cisco Kid, this TV series, a radio series, that was his story. When I was a child growing up in the middle 50s, there was an O. Henry Playhouse on television, pretty much. His vocabulary at the time was just fabulous.
Yeah, he really kept the short story alive in the minds of a lot of American readers.
Eugene, thank you very much for that that suggestion. Maureen on Facebook writes, "I reread anything by Pat Conroy. The novels allow me to wallow in the wonders of our language because he put words together that melodically sing out vivid and beautiful scenes."
Yeah, he's a wonderfully entertaining writer, and I've had the pleasure of listening to him read and listening to him talk. He really knows how to get people up on their feet and cheering about the good things in life, I have to say.
Speaking of listening to people read, I don't know if you're aware of this, Alan, but Wisconsin Public Radio has I know it's the oldest program on Wisconsin Public Radio, but it might be one of the oldest programs of its kind. Mm-hmm. It's called Chapter a Day, and we have very talented staff members who read a chapter a day from a particular book, and around the noon hour every weekday.
That's wonderful.
And people love it, and they, in fact, really will be upset if there's something that preempts their chapter.
Uh-huh.
But let's see. Today, Jim Fleming is reading from In the Garden of Beasts, Love, Tarot, and American Family in Hitler's Berlin by Eric Thompson.
Yes. That's a really terrific book where you get to see the underside of Hitler's Germany from the point of view of an American diplomatic family. It's a terrifying book. Yeah.
Well, that's on our chapter a day this week. Judith Sears Poisson, who is one of our talk show producers and for Larry Mueller's show and fills in for him, will be filling in today, says that she just finished reading The Art of Fielding.
Oh, I love that novel. That was an absolutely wonderful novel.
Yeah, by Chad Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, yes, Harbach. That's it's a wonderfully serious and entertaining book at the same time, about a kid who goes to a Midwestern college on a baseball scholarship and discovers everything you need to know about life before you graduate from college. And it's also got this wonderful underpinning of a love of Herman Melville, because the college that he attends is devoted to Melville. It's got a statue of Melville on this little tiny point of a Midwestern lake where I'm sure Melville probably never set foot, but he's celebrated by this college. It's just a fabulous book. You don't have to love baseball to love this novel, but baseball fills almost every page, as does Melville.
Yeah, this particular book was also featured on Chapter a Day recently.
Uh-huh.
And Judith writes, characters you care about set at a small Wisconsin liberal arts college, which I think a lot of people think sounds a lot like UW-Madison,
uh-huh.
And a way of talking about baseball that really brings out the art of it. I really enjoyed it. So
yeah, it's also about love and family and some of the good things in life you have to struggle to keep.
So what about you, dear listener? What are you reading right now? Is there a book that you are planning to pick up next? What's on your summer reading list? Maybe it's a brand new book that you're waiting for. Maybe it's a classic that you want to reread. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are you looking for any recommendations from a particular genre, like science fiction or thrillers or something else? Our guest might be able to help you out. He is Alan Chews. He is NPR's longtime voice of books. He has been reviewing books for NPR's All Things Considered since the 1980s. He is also a writing teacher at George Mason University. He is a novelist. His most recent book is Paradise, or Eat Your Face, a trio of novellas. And maybe that's one you want to check out this summer. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be cloudy, a chance of showers, possibly a thunderstorm today. Highs will be in the upper 60s, cooler near the Great Lakes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just about 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Monday, Memorial Day, May 27th. It might be a national holiday, but the State Capitol Report is working today. We'll talk with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson coming up after 7 o'clock for our State Capitol Report. We'll get the very latest on several measures in the proposed state budget. Latest developments on the state budget and more coming up in our State Capitol Report after 7 o'clock. Well, as adults, we might not have a full summer vacation, but we still go on vacation and maybe finally get some reading done. Our guest this hour is an author and a book reviewer, and we're talking with him about some new and upcoming releases as well as some timeless reads that might be worth picking up again, getting some summer reading recommendations from NPR book reviewer Alan Chews, and from you too at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, I'm trying to keep track here, Alan. We've gotten a number of recommendations from you, but one more. What is another one we might want to pick up this summer?
Well, you know, if I were putting together a little picnic basket of books to take on a vacation, I would take one novel that I would take is the first novel that came out last year. It's called The Orchardist by Amanda Coplin, C-O-P-L-I-N, set in Oregon in the late 19th century, in the beginning of the 20th century, about a man who has fruit orchards and takes in a pair of orphan girls who are on the run from a rather nasty kidnapper. Really fabulous story about how the man and these women bond or don't bond in the course of their life together. In the Steinbeck tradition, that book. And I would also recommend, there's another genre that I've taken to, I guess you'd call it military procedurals. Tom Clancy really started it.
Right.
And there's a writer named Tom Young, who is a National Guard guy who served in South Asia and in Bosnia, and he's got a new novel out called The Warriors, which is set in the Balkans. And he really knows his stuff, his military hardware, his military procedure, and he's got a couple of really endearing characters who serve in these hot spots around the world. His Afghanistan novel called The Mullah's Storm I thought was just terrific, and this new one is called The Warriors. I haven't read it yet, but it's on my right up the front of my reading list,
Great.
The top of my pile.
Well, let's take another call from Mike in Door County. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, and good morning to both of you.
Morning, Mike.
I read a book this last year that I found fascinating. It's entitled The Perfect Nazi. Huh. It was written by a gentleman who's the head of the BBC in England. Mm-hmm. And as a child, they talked about their family history, you know, from their mothers and their grandfathers, but they never talked about the mother's father. Mm-hmm. And so he got older, and a few years back, he sort of decided to do a survey, you know, to check what was going on. Well, what he found out, he was not a happy camper about. His grandfather was born. In fact, the family came from Berlin, just north of Berlin. And the grandfather, in fact, he found out was Waffen-SS. In fact, he was the head of the division for dentistry during Himmler, during that period of time. And what the book is so fascinating about is it explains in a way, I think a very clear way, the first time I've ever read it, because I majored in history at Wisconsin. It tells you how could a country that was so Christian, intelligent, rational, industrious, go mad?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this book, Alan?
I don't know it, but it sounds like it's a book that I want to get a hold of.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike, for sharing that.
Yeah. I think as an immediate antidote after reading that, I think I would come back to Steinbeck.
Yeah. Did you notice any, I don't know, trends in the last year or so, any genres that were particularly good, any themes that writers kept striking at?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In a way, the real noticeable trends are in the publishing industry itself. I mean, the explosion of e-books and the explosion of self-published books that you can easily get on the web, and the network of new writers and readers that are forming in various shapes on the web. So, in a way, it's we're in a very interesting period. You know, interesting in that always means trouble for some people. In which writers are popping up all around the country, and normally a good book that's self-published would eventually find its way to New York and get picked up by a New York publishing house, and that's its way to success. But right now there are a lot of people around the country who are self-publishing and making money by selling it on the web through Amazon or some other outlet like that. So it's a really interesting time. There are always going to be good novels and good writers and good short stories coming up, but whether the publishing industry is going to remain the same as we know it, say, for the last 100 years, that's another question.
Yeah. So do you read the paper or hardcover book, or do you read off an e-reader?
I don't use an e-reader, because I mark up a book a lot as I read. In order to write reviews, I make a lot of notes in the margins and in the back of the book. I find an e-reader is not very useful for that, although I know a lot of people who have them, and it's wonderful for traveling and such if you know what books you want to bring with you. I mean, one of my great fears is taking an airplane trip, long airplane trip, and discovering that I've run out of novels that I want to read. So the e-reader is great for that. But I usually just have to pack a whole separate bag of books so I don't run out.
John in La Crosse emails, I recently reread a short fiction book that I read years ago, I Am Legend, by the prolific writer Richard Matheson.
Yeah,
he writes, it's essentially the original modern zombie book made into movies three times so far and never with the original correct ending. I didn't know about that. There's no screaming about brains. It's still chilling and surprising and an easy summer read.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite novels out of my childhood reading. Yeah, it's the Will Smith movie, I think, was the latest version, and I think that ends correctly. I won't give away the ending, but it's a fabulous piece of science fiction.
Well, I'm going to be going on a vacation eventually. Last couple of weeks in June off, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm a little bit of day tripping going on, but I'm going to have plenty of time to just read for pleasure. It's hard for me to just out of the blue ask you for something that a journalist might read on a busman's holiday.
Well, if you want to read a book about a courageous journalist, Mexican bureau chief of the Dallas Morning News, Alfredo Corchado, has just published a book, actually this week, called Midnight in Mexico, about his struggle to get the real news out of Mexico in the middle of the drug wars. And he wakes up one morning to discover what I would call the journalist's worst nightmare, which is he's become part of the story. There are death threats out on him, and he has to decide whether he's going to stay in Mexico and report or flee.
Good thing I'm not going to Mexico.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. One doesn't want to do that these days. But that's a terrific book by a really courageous.
Yeah. Is there, in our last 30 seconds, Alan, there another book that that you've been meaning to mention but didn't get around to?
Some really good murder mysteries. The Burn Palace by Stephen Dobyns, that's spelled D-O-B-Y-N-S, set in Little Rhode Island, a big story about a cult of killers in Little Rhode Island. And the last one I want to mention is a book called Rage Against the Dying by Becky Masterman, about a retired female FBI agent who brings down a serial killer in Arizona.
That sounds like my kind of beach read. Seriously. Thank
Rage
you.
Against the
dying. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Alan Shoes is NPR book reviewer. Thanks to Christy Taylor for producing this program and Bill Martins for on-air production.